Ryan made a quick count of the scattered vill, making it around 30 of what looked like basic log cabins, rather similar to Mom's place. They weren't laid out in any particular pattern, just a jumble with no recognizable layout of streets. There was also what looked like a frontier church, though the windows had heavy barred shutters that were clearly designed to be used as fire ports. Ryan also spotted a much larger fortified house near the center of the colony. Most of the buildings had short chimneys, all with covers to stop any attacker gaining access that way. And roughly one-third of them showed smoke. About a dozen men were visible. A couple carried rifles and seemed to be on a regular patrol on the northern flank of the camp. One was chopping wood, while another was skinning a large pig that had been slung up on a makeshift scaffold over a vat of boiling water. Two more men were leading a pair of plow horses through the heart of the vill. Ryan also spotted about five women, every one of them busily engaged in washing or cooking activities. None of them took much notice of the arrival of the group of outlanders. A few lean dogs scavenged around the backs of the houses, several of them hanging around the man working on the pig's carcass. Ryan noticed immediately that there were no children at all to be seen in Hopeville.
How do you defend the place against hostiles like the Apaches?
I wasn't here back in the early days of the Children of the Rock. Now, I know that Brother Wolf tried to build a wall, defensive to the vill, but it was impossible.
Why?
You ask too many fucking questions, Outlander.
Now, you know what Brother Wolf preaches. A friend in Hopeville is worth 100 enemies.
Yeah, right.
Owsley moved ahead. Ryan walked with Steele, the others close on his heels.
In answer to your question, it was impossible because of the terrain here. Too many trees, too big to man a perimeter, too few of us.
I heard that there was about 100 of you.
That's not supposed to be general information. I don't think Brother Wolf would
I'm fucking sure he wouldn't. Button your flap, Josiah.
Not trying to spy on you, just interested.
Indeed, this is a fascinating...
I hope he's recovered for the testing.
What's the testing?
Brother Wolf will tell you all about that. I was saying about defending the veil. I reckon that we're sort of out of the way up here.
What's the attitude?
It varies around here. It's average about 12,000.
They had reached the middle of the veil and were approaching the large building that stood at its core. With Owsley still leading, they finally stopped a few paces from the open front door of the main house. A figure loomed from the shadows inside.
By the blessed saints, it's my old friend One-Eyed Carter. Always swore I'd chill you next time I saw you, and here you are.
Suddenly, Ryan was aware that they were surrounded by armed men. There were at least 20, most in clothes similar to those worn by Steele and Owsley. Most were clean-shaven, though Ryan spotted a couple with neatly trimmed mustaches. The trio that they'd run into back at Mom's place was amongst them. The vill had been waiting for their arrival, setting them up. That was all too obvious. The men, mostly looking middle-aged, were in doorways of houses, some with the barrels of their Winchester 94 rifles protruding from windows. Others had circled behind the outlanders, standing in a rough skirmish line, most with long blasters, a few with revolvers. The figure in the shadows remained hidden. Ryan guessed this must be Brother Wolf.
Don't even think about it, Carter.
Wasn't thinking about a thing, except that this is a fire-blasted sort of a welcome to the Children of the Rock. Not friendly, Brother Wolf.
It's Brother Wolf, is it now, Carter?
What else should it be?
What else should it be? I can recollect some of the names that I got called by Traitor and his renegades.
So that was it. The Traitor had ridden the length and breadth of Deathlands, and for many of those years he had been accompanied by his two lieutenants, John Dix and Ryan Carter. Some of the time, they'd left good, warm feelings behind them in the vills they'd visited. Some of the time, they hadn't. Ryan blinked away the thick red mist of half-remembered blood.
Time's long past, Wolf.
No doubt, not even worth forgetting.
I don't believe we've met, old man, but I have heard word of all of you here and there.
You gonna show yourself, or just give the sign and have us gunned down?
Hold your tongue, Armorer. Think I don't know you? Dix, with your gleaming glasses and that hat of yours? Carrying an Uzi, I see.
Take some of you horsin' bastards with me, Wolf, if it comes to that.
Not the place for a firefight, Outlanders. Be your blood spilled in the dirt. Best way with strangers. Dead man won't betray you.
Ryan stared coldly at Jim Owsley.
Any shooting, and I swear I'll take you with me.
Big talk for an old one-eyed man.
You come out now, Wolf, or I promise you we'll start shooting.
If you come to talk, then talk. If you come to shoot...
Ryan recognized this as one of the traitor's favorite sayings. He glanced down and noticed that a brindled mongrel had crept belly down toward the group of strangers, sliding in closer to him. Its teeth were broken and jagged, its eyes red-rimmed, panting jaws dripping clotted foam. When it considered it had crept in near enough for its sneak attack, it snarled its hatred and lunged toward the groin of the one-eyed man. Ryan's Sig Sauer was holstered, the Steyr rifle slung across his shoulders, but the hilt of the Panga was close to his left hand. There was a blur of sudden movement, the pallid sunshine blinking off the honed and polished steel as the 18-inch blade flickered into sight from the soft leather sheath. It found its mark, and in an instant, the dog's lean skull dropped in the dirt, washed with a gout of bright arterial blood. The body, paw still scrabbling, fell alongside it, moving a couple of yards nearer Ryan, with the impetus of that final charge.
Holy shit! Ship! That stinking bastard Outlander slaughtered poor old Ship!
The sarcastic applause came from the man in the house. Then, as though sensing Ryan's building rage, Brother Joshua Wolf stepped out into the morning air. He was around 6 feet 3 inches in height, weighing close to 240. He was broad in the shoulder and narrow in the hip, wearing the same kind of uniform as most of the men in the bill. His hair was graying, but it had once been as black as a raven's wing. His black cord pants layered down into a pair of mirrored black western boots with a silver rattler embroidered across the toes. He had a Mexican rig, ornately worked in silver and gold thread, strapped low on the right thigh, holding a revolver like most of the men carried, the big .45 caliber Hawes Montana Marshal. Only Wolf's had gleaming, pearlized grips. Ryan recognized him, the years flooding back at the sight of the man.
Fast as ever, One-Eye. Age hasn't wearied you.
I remember you.
Yeah, me too.
And I remember both of you. Oh, so very well. This is always here to remind me, should my memory become lax. With this, I can never forget.
The man held out both arms, like a huckster displaying his wares. Two arms, but only one hand. The left hand was missing, his arm ending in a neat stump just above the wrist.
Remember, One-Eye? How about you, Four-Eyes?
Sure. Didn't have the Hawes back then. If I recall it right, he had a matched pair of Ivor Johnson cattleman pistols, .357s. And a hideaway? Now what? Dark Knight, I remember it. Shoulder rig. Harrington and Richardson vest pocket model. Smith & Wesson 32. 5 rounds. Real short barrel. Pretty little toy.
By the saints, you sure got a memory for a blaster, Dix.
J.B. nodded, unsmiling, the muzzle of his Uzi covering the leader of the Children of the Rock. At J.B.'s side, Doc's eyes began to water, prelude to a sneeze. He tugged out his swallow's eye kerchief.
How long ago? A good 10 or 15 years? Could even be as long as 20 years. My memory for things like that is kind of unreliable. But I remember where the trader ran into you. Near Spearfish, up in the old Dakotas. We'd been trading on the side of the old Little Bighorn battlefield. Then we were heading along toward the east. Beaver skins collected from the Oglala. The bill where you lived was called, Pine Fork.
Good. Very good, my old friend. Go on. Let the memories flow free as fine grated flour under the millstones.
You were the sec boss.
They had shirts the same color as your men's jackets.
Yeah, right, they did. The Baron was called Sin Lao, way back Chinese warlord.
Leper, you remember that? Tough old bastard, half his face was gone.
In fact, Sin Lao hadn't had a nose, just a snuffling hole, fringed with a ragged cuff of snot-dripping gristle. One eye had been pulled down toward the ravaged cheek. His upper lip had been missing, showing his tombstone teeth, like houses in a ghost town.
I remember you tried treachery. Drugged the meat for supper, but one of our dogs ate some first. died right there and then in front of us. Traitor had you questioned.
And the Baron just let it happen. Scared of losing his whole vill. Traitor and his pomp was a shit-scaring sight.
Most folks he asked questions of got around to answering him.
Wolf reached up and touched a network of old scars that seamed his face around both eyes.
Sometimes, I still wake up in the small hours of the night, find myself crying. He used a needle, heated up, white, held it in thick gloves and threatened to blind me. Why'd he do that to me, Ryan?
You got a strange memory, Wolf. Kind of picks and chooses, doesn't it?
How's that?
You planned to murder everyone on Warwags 1 and 2. We had two in those days, didn't we, JB?
Can't remember. Think so. Either way, it was a cold, hard plan to butcher us all. Traitor needed to know who was behind it, so we asked for the sec boss.
And I told him it was me. He hurt me bad. Then when I'd admitted what I'd done, he had me held fast and took a cleaver. Took it and swung it and hacked off my left hand clean as whistling. And I swore I'd have revenge if I ever got the chance. And here you are, both of you, plucked chickens on my table, delivered by the good Lord.
Ryan had always known in his heart that it might end like this. The years with the traitor had been awash with blood. So many dead. So many left living. Hearts filled with a bitter grudge against the traitor and the men who'd ridden with him. Deathlands wasn't big enough to expect to run and hide for all your life. In the end, you'd bump into someone at the turning of a dark corridor, in a narrow alley in a frontier pest hole, at a desert watering hole, in the kitchens of a gaudy, or on a mountain pass above tumbling meltwater. Or in a quasi-religious military commune among the tall trees of the Sierras.
It's me and JB you want. The others had nothing to do with Traitor.
Now then, One-Eye, I never thought to hear you talk stoop. We all know that you ride with someone, then you live and die with them. Even a boy who by the looks of him is your kin.
We take him out, let him have it, Brother Wolf? Leave him to those muty rats? Or maybe peddle them all to Mom?
No, from that smoke we saw, I'd be astonished to find that Mom's place is still functioning. I guess there's no point in asking if you knew anything about that, is there, One-Eye? No? Now, why am I not surprised at that?
Let's get on with it.
JB made a half turn so that the Uzi pointed directly at the leader of the vill. Ryan sensed that a lot of the men of the Children of the Rock weren't comfortable with the standoff. There were enough of them, and they were well enough armed to be confident of massacring the handful of strangers. But unless they were blindly stupid, they had to realize that Ryan and the others weren't going to go into the dark land alone and unprotesting. Ryan's hand rested flat on the butt of the Sig Sauer. Wolf stepped forward, holding up his stump in a kind of benediction.
No.
No what?
It says in a good book that to err is human, and that to forgive is to follow in the steps of our Savior. It is truly to be divine.
So?
So, my dear Ryan Carter, long years ago, you and others erred. Caused me great grief. But I wish for divinity. So I propose to forgive you. All of you. Both the guilty and those plagued with guilt by association.
So what's that mean?
It means that you are welcome here. If the testing goes well, as I'm sure it will, then you will be accepted and may stay here in total safety under my personal protection for as long as you wish. Steel? Show these folks their accommodations.
Wolf turned and disappeared back into the shadows of his house, followed quickly by Jim Owsley. Josiah Steele led the companions to their quarters, a hut that smelled like it had been empty for several months. It was dry and spacious. There were 7 single beds and a table and several upright chairs. A decent little kitchen was located out back, as was an outhouse at the bottom of an overgrown garden. Christy had run her finger across the table, holding up a gray smudge of dirt. Steele promised to get some women in to scrub and clean it, as well as provide them with some fresh laundered bedding. He had also told them a midday meal would be served up, communally, around noon, and supper would be at 7. Now he stood in the doorway, silhouetted by the late morning sun, his shadow spilling across the dusty planks.
So what's this testing?
Nothing to worry about for the likes of you.
Cemeteries are full of folks who thought that there was nothing to worry about.
It's just that the Children of the Rock always welcome strangers, as long as they measure up and fit in. The best Brother Wolf tells you more over the noon meal.
One last question before you go, Brother Steele.
Yeah, Brother Carter.
See this little rad counter on the lapel of my coat? It shows high orange, closing toward the top risk red. What's the hot spot around here?
Where did you get that?
Been carrying it more years than I can remember. If my memory serves, we found a stack of them near Topeka. Is that right, J.B.?
The armorer was sitting on one of the beds, polishing his glasses on a linen kerchief.
Topeka? Yeah, that's where we got them.
I guess that we're so used to it that it doesn't bother us.
So what is it?
Well, as you said, hot spot. Not so bad as those little gizmos show. I doubt it's anywhere near to red.
Near enough. How far away from the Ville is it?
2-3 miles. Brother Wolf found it when he was picking this place for the home of the Children of the Rock. Lies north and east. It's an old complex, built just before Skydark. Earthship exposed some part of the central nuke core. It leaks.
He knew there was a rad spot that close? And he still picked this for the Ville? And you've all been here for all that time. I just find that real hard to believe.
There must be some side effects from the radiation. Skin problems, fertility. Hey, I haven't seen many children around this place. Not for the numbers of men and women. Should be more.
Steele was obviously uncomfortable with the line of questioning, and he turned to stare out through the open doorway.
I've seen about 4 or 5 little ones since we arrived, but I saw no school. Nothing like that. Is that right, Steele?
No, no school. Not for years. Not enough children to make it worthwhile.
Might I be permitted a small observation, ladies and gentlemen, on the subject of infants?
Go ahead, Doc.
My thanks, Master Calder, for your courtesy. It is just that I have a great affection for children, having so tragically lost my own 2 dear little doves. They were so tender and so... But let that pass. The milk is spilled and spilled forever. You cannot ever go back when you are always moving on. They were only cities, but they...
Doc!
Oh, dear. Was I wandering? Sorry. Yes. Have any of you noticed that the majority of the inhabitants of the settlement are what one might once have called white Anglo-Saxon Protestants?
That's right. What's your point?
The children all looked remarkably to me as though they come originally from Native American stock. Bless me.
Fireblast. You're right, Doc.
Mescalero?
Christie took 6 steps across the cabin to confront Steele.
Gaia. That's it, isn't it? You're all sterile from the rad hotspot. You can't have your own little ones, so you steal them from the Apaches.
Without a word, Josiah Steele stalked quickly out of the cabin and into the heart of the Ville. With their privacy finally returned to them, Doc took the opportunity to lay down on one of the beds. The others turned their conversation to the Hopeville leader, Brother Joshua Wolf.
Maybe we should just up and get out. Out of sight's out of range of Wolf.
I say we stay. Keep our eyes open, of course. But I reckon that if Wolf had wanted us chilled, he could have simply raised his hand and that would have been it. And frankly, I'm kind of interested in the setup here.
How about the rat hotspot? Did you check out Owsley? I mean his skin. Nasty complexion. More spots than a leopard. I would lay money that it's a lupus-linked condition with its roots in a rad cancer. I wouldn't want to stay here longer than 2 or 3 days.
Jack was nearest the door and opened it, revealing a couple of women holding buckets, brushes, and mops. The older of the pair, a skinny woman with sparse gray hair, spoke first.
Can we come and clean?
Sure, we'll move out of your way.
Ryan got up from the bed where he'd been resting, leading the way from the cabin. Doc was the only one who didn't move. The earlier coughing fits had racked his body. Now he slept uneasily, tossing and turning, his hands opening and closing like claws. The second woman, a pretty but anemic-looking washed-out blonde, noticed Doc.
Oh, you can leave him there. It won't bother us none. I bet he needs to rest up for the testing.
Sure, not long until the noon meal. We'll rouse him for that.
As the others filed out, Christie paused in the doorway.
How long since there was a child born here in the Ville?
Child? Born here?
You mean a norm?
Sure. Why? You had some mutie births?
Don't say anything. Brother Wolf doesn't like blabbing.
No, it won't hurt none. Not a secret, is it? Half the folk of the Sierras know about our problem.
Go on.
Well, the last natural-born baby here was a good 4 years back, and that was a weak sickling. Lived a scant brace of months. There's been others, though.
Others? Muties?
Worse than that. Sickly, ailing creatures. Devil spawn. Head and legs. Body like a girt spider. Another with claws, like a crab, but with a cluster of eyes across its little forehead.
Those poor mites. That one with a tangle of arms from its tiny little chest, and one with kind of feathers all over its lumpy skull.
Oh, the goat child!
Ah, Jesus, save it. And that one that bit a finger clean off Goodwife Biddy at its birthing.
The animated conversation jerked Doc awake from his fitful sleep. He lay still, listening to the women talk.
Oh, by the storm-trooping saints, that was one of the worst of them all. Took 3 bullets to send its hideous, scaly body all the way to paradise. From Hopeville to paradise.
This is a poor, blighted place for raising children.
Why not just move from the hot spot? You'd have been spared much of this.
The older woman shook her head vehemently.
No. Brother Wolf says it's all part of our suffering. Suffering like he suffered. Our own cross to bear.
Golgotha, not Hopeville. Golgotha, the place of the skull.
Stay loose, Doc. Miss, how many of the Mescalero children have been taken?
Can't rightly say, Brother Carter. Not our place to say. But I figure the answer is close on 20.
They still living?
Some. Most of them don't take to our ways and food and all. Some get sick. Sores around the eyes and mouth. Shitting disease. Piss blood. Only about 4 or 5 actually what you might call living. The Apaches take it hard.
That's true, Sister Helen. Like being at war, it is.
Maybe we can talk about this some more later, but I came back to say that the noon meal's ready, Christy. We best head on over. You too, Doc. You need some nourishment.